All right, before I fall off the wagon. Thank the light, everyone. I am your sober Sedai, and these are my wolf brothers.
Fatty the I'm parched. I Ailman. I'm not parched.
You're not parched at all. And I'm cousin Jeremy.
I am your wet-brained Gleeman.
I am your unbound Oshaman.
And we are your three heats. Welcome to the Wheel of Time podcast. We are the true source, the purest light, your companion cast, a warder, if you will, for this journey through all things Wheel of Time. Kelly, I probably said this on the podcast already. Kelly finally watched Heartbreak Ridge with me. And so now she knows that my entire personality is just a shtick.
I've never seen that movie.
Clint Eastwood?
Yeah.
God, you I remember you used to watch that. You used to quote something from that movie, like hardcore. I'm like,
so many things. I'll give you one for free if it'll shut the hole under your nose.
You've said that before.
If you want to watch, I know that we watched and laughed at Full Metal Jacket. We weren't supposed to, but we did.
Yeah.
If you want to see an actual 2-hour comedy, Full Metal Jacket, watch Heartbreak Ridge.
Okay.
That's going to be my new intro. I am the Ayatollah of rock and roller, your Duke of Cool.
Jesus.
All right. Today, we are going to talk about Elaine. What's Elaine? Elaine Trockid?
Trockand.
Trockand, the daughter heir of Andor.
This girl, I haven't been more intrigued about a new character since this one, because I, of course, barely know her because she was not in the show. She's in the Dragon Reborn for a second, and I just saw her, and when you guys talk about her, usually it's like, oh yeah, her and Rand, off again, on again, blah, blah, blah. She's fucking...
You said she's in the Dragon Reborn, you meant the Eye of the World. She's in the Eye of the World.
Oh, she's in the Eye of the World. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry. She's
very little
fucking badass. I had no idea, because if you've only read the books, you don't know she can channel yet, right? Like,
correct.
Yeah, yeah, no, she's at the tower. Well, oh, right.
No.
You don't know she can channel, like, when you meet her? No, she don't know that.
Right.
But it's kind of implied, because they talk about how close the Lion Throne and, like, Morghese went to train at the tower, so it's implied that she maybe could, but she's incredibly strong.
They talk about that in the few minutes that Rand's with her?
Not in the first book, no.
No, no, just the fact that the Lion Throne is close with Tarvalin and
yeah,
and that they go to train there as like a, it's kind of like a tradition. Because Morghese can channel, but very, very, like minuscule. Like, she could barely light a candle.
Who's Morghese to Elaine?
She's the Queen of Andor, her mom.
Okay. Oh, there's Morghese. There it is. I'm looking at the family tree right now, trying to follow this. So yeah, and she's obviously she's gorgeous. She is. Is there a family tree that unites her and Ileana?
No.
Not that I know of. No.
Okay. The only reason I asked is because they have their hair is described kind of similarly. So I wasn't sure if there was some DNA there.
Well, I mean, there might be, but like literally 3,000 years to separates the two of them. So I mean, it'd be nothing.
Well, someone back there is someone's great, 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 great grandma.
Yeah, she could be by the time 3,000 years comes around, it's probably everyone's related to everybody.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Like, I've heard you and Justin talk about it, but I thought you were just, you know, being D&D nerds. But they actually mentioned that in the Wheel of Time Companion, her strength is described as a 8+5.
Yeah, so she's freaking like very strong. So it's like Egwene and Elaine and Avienda are all on the same, like kind of like the same plane. They're about the same, right? Maybe Egwene's a little bit higher than all three, than the other two. Nynaeve is a step higher than that, right? And then so if you talk about like the Forsaken, she's in the probably low to mid tier. Nynaeve is like low to mid tier of the Forsaken.
Okay.
And then like Lanfear sits above her, right? But not a ton, but enough to where like she's gonna be stronger. And then there's this another girl that comes in at the end of like, I don't even remember, like book 10, 9 or 10 or something like that. And you find out that she's like as strong as like maybe Lanfear, that level.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's levels to the game, you know, and then you kind of find out that Nynaeve is like She's up there.
So why are these new girls so powerful?
That's my question from the beginning. That I was like, why would you, at the very end, why would you throw these people in? Like, I don't understand it.
Even Nynaeve and Egwene, like, compared to...
Oh, you understand. Oh, so the, why are they so powerful?
Well, I feel like they got spit out because the pattern weaves what it needs, you know, like...
So they were spit out near Rand.
That's why the dragon isn't dark. And that's why, like, Tavirin aren't dark, because the pattern spins them out because they need correction in the right way from usually, you know, I don't want to say dark forces, but shit that would start to rip the weaves apart, basically.
Okay.
Yes, I agree with that, too. Plus, in the end, Nynaeve plays a very significant role, like, at the very end, too. Very significant.
She plays, like, honestly... If you were to extrapolate this to like actual history, like when you look back on what happened in this time and age and like the people who played the biggest roles, I feel like Nynaeve would be someone who is remembered as someone who was easily just as important as Rand because of the things that she discovered and did.
Well, let's play the clip, I guess, unless you guys have anything to add.
Yeah, let's play the clip because there is a lot more and like, I'm going to probably let a few things out of the bag that are, you know, like I said, Tom was Morghese's court bard and lover at one point, which was Elaine's...
Say that again?
So Tom was Andor's court bard.
Oh!
And...
Yeah!
You know, they called him, not a paramour, some other word for, like, you know, lover, but not like, you know, he wasn't going to be, you know, ever considered... it was like, I want to say concubine, but that's not the right word either. It was like...
No, we're just... The word is stunt cock.
Yes. He was Morghese's stunt cock. And so he was around Elaine when she was a little girl.
Okay.
So that's important to remember.
Okay.
And actually, so where we're at right now, we're going to play this clip. So where we're at is, come on, phone. Chapter 40, Eye of the World, and we're going with the Rosamund Pike reading, so that's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Rand is in Camelin. He has separated from Matt. Matt is, like, under the effects of the dagger really badly right now and is more or less bedridden, or if not bedridden, he kind of won't leave the room because he's so paranoid. And so Rand's like, I'm going to go out and, you know, I'm going to go see Loghain. And the streets are super crowded, so he kind of just kind of keeps, like, going on the, like, street opposite to where the procession is going. And he's just kind of, like, looking for a place where he can kind of cut in and see. And he kind of gets to a point where he tries to get into the crowd. And then I believe he sees Pod and Fain, or maybe and he also makes eye contact with Loghain, and Loghain starts, like, laughing hysterically, and he kind of takes off, keeps moving on, and then he finds this wall, and he's like, oh man, I could see everything if I just climb this wall. Climbs up this wall and is sitting there, and he could see everything. It is the royal palace's outer wall to their gardens, and he's sitting there and then ends up falling off backwards into the, you know, royal palace. And then Elaine and Gawain, and I believe Galad, comes up as well to kind of like, hey, this guy just, nice security, by the way. He just kind of fell into the royal palace, you know, good job. Good thing he wasn't a fucking assassin, you know what I mean? So, Jesus Christ. But, and so that's where we're at. Rand is kind of like waking up inside of the wall.
When he tried to turn his head quickly, everything started whirling again. He was in a garden, or a park. He had fallen inside the wall. He found the tree close behind his back, and found her, too, climbing down out of it. She reached the ground and turned to face him, and he blinked. Her pale blue dress was smudged with bark stains from her tree climbing, but it was still silk, and embroidered with painstakingly intricate designs, the skirt slashed with inserts the color of rich cream. He had only ever seen two women dressed in this fashion, Moraine and the dark friend who had tried to kill Matt and him. He could not begin to imagine who would choose to climb trees in clothes like that, but he was sure she had to be someone important. The way she was looking at him redoubled the impression. She did not seem in the least troubled at having a stranger tumble into her garden. There was a self-possession about her that made him think of Nynaeve or Moraine. She was perhaps 2 or 3 years younger than he, tall for a girl, and beautiful. Her face a perfect oval framed by that mass of sunburst curls. A scrabbling sound came from up in the tree, and bits of bark fell, followed by a boy dropping lightly to the ground behind her. His coat and cloak were red and white and gold, embroidered and brocaded, and for a male even more ornate than hers. That increased Rand's anxiety. This was no public park. Perhaps the guards were too busy to bother with trespassers. The boy studied Rand over the girl's shoulder. The boy had the same self-possession as the girl, and they both looked at him as if he were a puzzle to be solved. He had the odd feeling that the girl, at least, was cataloguing everything about him, from the condition of his boots to the state of his cloak.
We will never hear the end of this, Elaine, if Mother finds out. She told us to stay in our rooms, but you just had to get a look at Loghain, didn't you? Now look what it has got us.
Be quiet, Gawain. Are you all right?
It took Rand a minute to realize she was speaking to him. When he did, he tried to struggle to his feet. I'm fine. He tottered, and his legs gave way. He sat back down hard. He attempted to stand again, but she put a hand on his shoulder, pressing him down. He was so dizzy, the slight pressure was enough to hold him in place. Gracefully, she knelt beside him. Her fingers gently parted the blood-matted hair on the left side of his head. Firmly, she pulled his head back to where she could get at it. Hold still. She did not speak sharply, but again there was that note in her voice as if she expected to be obeyed. It does not look too bad, thank the light. From pockets on the inside of her cloak, she began taking out an array of tiny vials and twisted packets of paper, finishing with a handful of wadded bandage. He stared at the collection in amazement. It was the sort of thing he would have expected a wisdom to carry, not someone dressed as she was. Give me your water flask, Gawain, she said. I need to wash this. The boy she called Gawain unfastened a leather bottle from his belt and handed it to her. The ointment she smoothed on after from one of her small vials soothed almost as much as one of Nynaeve's preparations would have. Gawain smiled at him as she worked, a calming smile as if he too expected Rand to jerk away and maybe even run. She's always finding stray cats and birds with broken wings. You're the first human being she has had to work on. Do not be offended. I'm not calling you a stray. It was not an apology. Rand looked at Gawain. Does she always expect everybody to do what she tells them? A flash of surprise crossed the young man's face, and his mouth tightened with amusement. Most of the time she does. And most of the time they do. The vial of ointment was produced again. She spread it thinly along the scrapes, all of her attention apparently on rubbing it in without hurting him. A coolness spread through his hands, as if she were rubbing the torn places away. Most of the time they do exactly what she says, Gawain went on with an affectionate grin at the top of her head. Most people. Not Mother, of course. Or Elida. And not Linny. Linny was her nurse. You can't give orders to someone who switched you for stealing figs when you were little. Elaine raised her head long enough to give him a dangerous look. He cleared his throat and carefully blanked his expression before hurrying on. And Gareth, of course. No one gives orders to Gareth.
Not even Mother, Elaine said, bending her head back over Rand's hands. She makes suggestions, and he always does.
Thanks for farting, Winston. Gross.
I've never heard her give him a command. She shook her head.
So, yeah, you get to have, like, three really important characters introduced right there. Galad, Gawain, and Elaine. I wonder how they're going to go about introducing them now that we've kind of passed that. I'm thinking something in Tar Valon with Matt. I hope that they do Matt's, like, quarterstaff fight with those two.
Yeah.
That'll be epic, but I don't know how. Maybe they'll introduce Elaine to Nynaeve and Egwene in the tower as novices.
That scene is so fucking long. I forget, like, because, like, that's one of those scenes that I, in the book, you know, it's like, okay, Rand's meeting some people. And then, like, an hour later, he's still talking to these people that we haven't fucking met yet.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm just like, who the fuck are these people? It's so weird. And it's an interesting scene. And it's obvious why they left it out of the show, because to pay these seven actors $1 million for this 8-minute scene in the middle of episode four would have been, you know, that's not how you make TV shows.
No, it would have been very difficult to do. It would have been so difficult. I can't even imagine. Like, it sucks because this is a really good scene in my opinion, because I really like how they introduce Elaine, Gawain, Galad, and Galad, because you get to see, like, their personalities right off the bat, right? Like,
yeah, their personalities are super clear off the bat. You know, Galad with his kind of holier than thou, and then Gawain is just kind of like, he's not like shitty or anything. He's just like,
no, he's gonna do whatever.
But he's kind of douchey, you know.
He's gonna do whatever he has to do to protect his sister. That's like what he does, right? Galad is always gonna do whatever he thinks is right, whatever it is. And then Elaine is always going to try to, you know, do her duty. And if she thinks that, right, her duty is to fix up this guy who fell off the wall, well, that's what she's going to do.
Yeah, never mind that he could be someone who's just a psycho assassin or something, you know, like.
True, could be.
They are the royal fucking family. granted that like Galad and Gawain end up like, once they come into their own, they're probably, I mean, like you're looking like Rand, Lan, Gawain, Galad, like, you know, the top swordsmen in the land, they're going to be right there. So she's not like defenseless or anything, but it's kind of like,
yeah, not the best.
You thing. Are still the prince, the daughter heir, and then the backup plan.
Yeah.
So the queen eventually comes into this conversation, right? And then who else is it? Doesn't there end up?
They take Rand to her.
Oh, he ran to her?
No, like the Queen's Guard like shows up and like, no, we're going to have to take him to see Mother.
Right.
Okay. That, yeah.
It's Talonvor, right?
Yeah, it is Talonvor. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I totally forgot about Talonvor.
Who really loves his queen.
Yes, he loves his queen.
So what is she the queen of? What's her area of rule?
So her area of rule is actually probably the biggest, right? Andor actually encompasses...
pretty much the heart of like the Westlands or whatever they call it. Like it's right in the middle, like, and it's pretty close to Tar Valon, right?
And it actually encompasses where Rand is from.
It does.
Rand is technically Anderman, yeah, for sure.
So she's his queen. That's his queen. He's like, who the fuck
yeah,
are you?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, she's like, who are you? And he's like, wait, who are you? Oh, you're my queen. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I mean, she's their queen, but it's like they haven't seen a taxman for like a couple of generations because there's like that's how backwoods they are.
But they probably get their tobacco and wool from them, probably, don't they?
Probably. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, because they have merchants, but it's like they don't. You know what I mean? Like, it's people who, like, go there and pick up and then deliver to, like, other places. You know, like,
it's
Bail
a
Doman,
long ways.
He goes to Saldea and he picks up shit. There's no, like, oh, you call Cisco and order them fucking fish fillets. It's like, he goes and gets them and then he has them. And when he's sold out, he's sold out. It's like, if no one comes through with the ice peppers, you ain't get no fucking ice peppers. Man, it's dry around here. Ain't nobody got no fucking weed, bro. It's August.
You don't got it. We don't get it, baby.
That shit don't happen. Remember every year, like there was a drought weed in August and then now that shit don't happen no more.
So two questions. How many queens are there? Are there kings? Or since women rule, are there only queens?
No, there are kings too. So the king, Kyrian has a king.
Like kind of every nation is different. So
like in the main map that you see, so basically everything to the west of the spine of the world, outside of the wasteland, like how many domains are there? How many kings and queens are there?
So not every place has a king and a queen. Like some places have like lords. They'll have like a set of like lords. Like Tyr, I think, doesn't have a king, does it? They have a council.
I don't know. Like they have like the Council of Nine, but then like, remember Faldara, it's like Lord Agomar, but he's...
he's a king, right?
Basically the king, but they don't... they don't call him king. They call him Lord Agomar.
Yeah, he's not technically a king. But basically, Kyrian has a king. Kyrian or Kyrhain, whatever, however you say it. Kyrhain.
Kyrhain has a king.
And then Andor has a...
Ilion has a council too, right?
Yeah. And Ilion does have a king, technically, but they never crown him. And Andor can have a king and or a queen, I believe, right? Andor can have both.
I don't think it matters like the sex as far as king or queen. It's just you got to be like the eldest in that family. It's that family, you know, whoever's next in the...
so whoever's in line. No, you know what? No, I think that's wrong because...
no, actually, no. Andor is have to have a queen. Yeah, no, you're right.
It has to be queens. It has to be queens.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Gawain is older than Elaine and they're full-blooded.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, and he's the first prince. He's like her, you know, protector or whatever.
Exactly. And so, but she's going to take over. So it has to be a queen.
Yeah.
And Kyrian could be either one.
They will be in need of a monarch pretty soon. And Elaine has the best claim to the Sun Throne in Kyrian as well.
True. That's true.
So she basically becomes the leader of two nations at one point. Yeah, I guess she's basically in charge of both, right?
So is there ever a Game of Thrones style history of this land where people are battling for land, or is everyone just pretty happy? Like, I got my land, we're cool. You got your land, you're cool.
No, there's a succession. I think Morghaes was the first queen of their house, right, Jeremy?
So there is that, what you're talking about, and that's the slog that we talk about. It's the Game of Thrones style.
Yeah, they start talking about... But it's not as interesting as Game of Thrones. It's really fucking boring.
Okay.
Not even close.
But are they actually battling, or are they just playing the game of houses?
No, they're just talking about, like, other houses that, like...
So it's politics. There's no actual...
Are almost strong enough to oppose her, but not quite.
But there's also, like, you know, attempted poisonings and all this stuff. People try to assassinate each other and blah, 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 and all that junk.
So it's more backstabbing shit. They don't march their army into the city and try to take it.
At one point, somebody does, right?
There is a battle.
No, yeah. There is a battle for Andor at one point. And like Elaine, I mean, that's when, like, you know, when you have to suffer through all the bullshit with Elaine. Sorry, that was a little aggressive. But you do have to suffer a lot of crap with her. She has some of the coolest shit. Like, dude, she's fucking like pregnant as fuck, riding a horse along the top of the walls and like shouting orders to her people. Like, she's tough, man. And at that point, she really can't channel because the pregnancy starts to affect her ability to channel. She can't just channel. Like, she actually has some shit happen to her because she can't protect herself.
Yeah, and we've given Elaine some crap because of the slog, but there's a lot of parts where that doesn't have the slog where she's really cool.
Yeah, she's a badass character, but it kind of takes away from her a little bit some of the shit she's... Well, and it's important because she has to deal with it, like you said, but it could have been summed up a lot faster, you know, like, oh wait, we won.
Yeah, exactly. if you had to listen to, like, I don't know, if you listen to like a if you're thinking about like a political person where you're like, I don't know, Dwight Eisenhower, you're like, start if you started like, you're like, hey, Dwight Eisenhower woke up on December 9th of 1944 and went to the bathroom and then he got up and walked, and you're like, okay, we don't need to know all, how about you just tell us the cool parts.
And one time when he was in grade school, he was bullied by a boy named Rick, stole his lunch money, and Dwight said, I will stand up for what's right for
him. When did Dwight Eisenhower become Bill Cosby? And he put the pudding pop. He stole my pudding pop.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
You take the horn of Valyr and you stick it in your horn box.
This is fuck. Have you seen a picture of who's playing Elaine?
No. Can you share the screen?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, the...
I think I have, but I forgot.
The baby, the fucking baby, they got to play Elaine, that apparently this woman is very secretive about her age and says she's between 20 and 25.
That's weird.
Her last name starts with a C, right? It's like Sierra or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, Sierra Coveney. Yeah, she looks like she's fucking 14.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Dude, I think she's like a perfect Elaine, though.
No,
like,
she is.
That's like, don't you, isn't that what you basically picture as Elaine? Yeah, like 100%.
Yeah, totally.
Some of the characters, like, honestly, Perrin's look was not my favorite. It's okay. Like, he fits the shagginess, but like, it wasn't my favorite. And even Matt actually wasn't my favorite at first until he got like really fucked up looking at the end. I'm thinking that the new guy, man, I'm so worried about the new dude. Like, hope it's not. Fuck, man. I hope. I'm starting to get scared. You're making me paranoid, Jeremy. I hate you.
I haven't said anything about the new guy at all. Not even one thing.
I literally lay awake at night going like, what if it fucking sucks?
Join me in the dark side. Become my apprentice.
I'm like, no, it's going to be great. It's going to be cool. And I'm like, listen to the books. And I'm like, yeah, cool. And I'm like, what if they fuck it up? Oh, what if it sucks? Ah!
Hey, man, all I got to say is if they come through with the second season, like, and I'm like blown away, I will be very happy. Very happy. I just don't see it. I mean,
I really hope they. Well, I'm thinking that it should be at least be better from a production standpoint and also story standpoint. I really feel like they got handcuffed with COVID a lot.
I hope you're right. I really am. I really do hope you're right. I mean, I just. I see this guy being like...
I mean, just the stuff I've read said that they got dealt with a lot of shit and that they had to deal with. And so I'm hoping that the stuff that kind of was like, man, I wish they did this or that. It was just like, man, we just can't make that happen in this climate.
Well, and also, too, it's season one. It's season one. Like I said, you can't bring in all these fucking side characters. But like as the show progresses, like, you know, if it continues to be a huge hit... You know, by season three, well, and then by season three, you can get these actors say, look, you're only going to be in half an episode this season, but we want you back for five episodes next season. And then you're actually going to go away again for the fifth season. And then you're going to be a big part of the sixth season. And like, once the show gets big, you can actually talk people into doing that weird shit and have characters come and go.
They're going to have to, because there's a lot of characters that fucking do that, to be honest. And I mean, there's going to be so many characters. And like, I'm like, God, it's like, they're going to have to cut so much stuff.
You do.
Just to make it work. And like, it, you know, and some of it, you know, like I said, in the slog, it's like, there's so much that you can cut there, but there's like little things that are just so good and so nuanced and so important. And I just don't see how they're going to be able to like get them done.
So how, at this point, does Elaine know she's badass with the power? She can heal. Is she actually healing at all? Or
No, she has no idea. I don't think she has any idea.
No, yeah, she has no idea. I don't even know. She doesn't even think that she can channel. She just knows like herbs because she's had to like, you know, be educated as the daughter heir.
Okay.
So before we leave the TV show, there's one thing I would like to say too. So with continued success of Amazon, like, so Wheel of Time, we did really good, actually, which most people didn't like. And I think actually, the Tomorrow War was really big. I think The Boys is really big.
Yeah.
Right?
The Boys is huge. Yeah.
And the new Terminal List, this thing was been huge.
Yeah.
So we're talking more money that goes into their, like, so they're throwing money out there, but they're bringing money in now. Hopefully.
Yeah.
And then with the whole Lord of the Rings.
I don't think Amazon's cash poor.
True. But like, if you're throwing money at this one department and they just keep losing money, like eventually they start slashing budgets, right?
Yeah. And their TV budget is banging right now. Like they are getting money back hand and foot.
Let's just hope that, you know, they're not going to get the higher budget for this second season, but maybe third season they get like a really big budget and then they can just kind of do whatever they want, right? Like there's like we spare no expense type of thing. It's Jurassic Park.
Hopefully they've got a real plan too. What will help? It's like, here's our 8 season arc. That's what we're going to do. Like if they're like, I don't know, it could go 6, it might go 10.
I really hope they have that. I hope it's not like, you know, Rian Johnson Star Wars.
Oh, God.
Let's figure it out as we go. No, like, I really hope that they have a plan because, you know, like Jeremy said, like, there is some stuff I wish was more in the first season and, like, would have been more covered. But, like, you know, as long as they, like, kind of tell the story well all the way through, it'll all be forgiven. It's just... they have to have a plan to do it, like, so there's continuity from start to finish.
Yeah.
Like, just tell the story well, whatever you guys decide that story is going to be, make sure that you guys, you know, decide to do it well.
Yeah, exactly. And make sure you have a plan. That's the main thing. Like... Listen, I'm the first person to tell you I like Rian Johnson movies. Like Brick is one of my
is fucking amazing. Watch Brick, Justin.
I have not watched it. Who's in that? Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Brick.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It is a great movie. Yeah,
it's amazing.
Is that the one where he's like a detective or something, or like
in high school? It's really good.
It's like 50. It's like half written like it's in the 50s and half written like it's in the 90s and like.
It's got this weird dialogue that no one has ever spoken in this way.
I think I tried to watch it. I was too stoned. I was like, I don't get it.
Okay, yeah, don't get so stoned, but then
most
go and
watch
it.
Like the,
get more stoned.
Most of the time, like stoniness, like makes me be like, okay, I got this because it slows down my fucking like ultra pinball brain. But
yeah,
sometimes it's just like they're trying really hard. Not following.
Well, and Brick is one of those too. Like if you went to the bathroom. If you went to the bathroom and didn't pause it, you're like, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Lisa and I watched this movie the other night and it was pretty entertaining, but I totally thought of you because it involved, you know, it had time travel in it. Every time I watch anything that has even remotely the slightest, I'm like, ooh, time pop, bro, time pop.
Yeah.
But it's called synchronicity? Synchronity?
Synchronic. We got an episode on it.
God damn it. Every time I always think I'm gonna have something that you haven't done an episode on. I fucking hate you.
Yeah.
Like, I hope you talked about, like, yes, it was entertaining, but boy, it pissed me off how stupid their time travel fucking mechanics were. I'm going to eat this pill at this certain point.
It was, I can't remember the, yeah, we definitely, There was a lot of holes in that.
That was probably easy to pick apart, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of holes in that one, without a doubt. It was.
Did you guys do an episode on Primer?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. That is the most
Primer? I don't know that movie. What's Primer?
Oh, Justin.
Oh, my God, Justin.
This podcast is over, everybody.
I want you to write me a 2-page essay on Primer once you watch it, because it is the most convoluted story.
It's so fucking cool.
Who's in Primer?
Nobody you know. Nobody.
Nobody you know? Aside from time travel, what's it about?
It's all about time travel. It's one of those movies. That's why they made it. And it's like, it's, if there's a realistic way to make time travel.
Yes.
This movie does it.
Where can I watch it?
Hold on, let me look. I'll tell you how to find it.
Oh, I can look it up if you guys don't know off the top of your head. It's fine.
Yeah, I haven't watched it in a while. So it's one of those movies that will sometimes go away too, and you won't be able to find it anywhere. But I think it's popular enough now. Yeah, and hang in there, Jess. It's one of those, it's super low budget. So it just starts out, it's just a couple of...
I don't care, dude. You know what? It's a good story. I don't give a fuck about budget. If I'm down for the story.
I watched it twice. I still really don't understand it. I understand how the time travel works, but I don't understand why they do anything. Like almost none of it, other than they want to make money.
Well, and it's so great too, because it's one of those time travel movies where it's like, I got it. I got it. I got it. I fucking don't got it. I lost it. So everybody out there, before season 2 of Wheel of Time starts, watch Primer. Listen to the Primer episode on Time Pop. And then that might be one. We've been talking about movies because we just got our third leg of our tripod on Time Pop as well. And we've been talking about, like, what should we go back and talk about?
Oh, you got your cousin Jeremy, huh?
We did. We got
all
our,
right.
Okay. We got our buddy Scott, our cousin Jeremy. we might have to redo Primer.
Get on with it.
Back to Wheel of Time. All right, what else you guys got to say about Elaine? I'm excited about her now.
I'm just curious how they're going to introduce her, whether they're going to like introduce her. I'm thinking they'll probably just introduce her separately at the tower. I don't know. What do you think, Jeremy?
I'm thinking so. What's going to happen? I'm thinking after season...
You'll see Matt with the boys, her with the girls.
Yeah, so season 2, so it's going to be Nynaeve and Egwene are going to have to go back to the tower, probably with Swan, right?
And I've seen some clips with Nynaeve and White, so I'm guessing they're definitely in the tower.
They're going to have to go back to the tower. Matt's already there for some reason, and I don't know how they're going to reconcile that. So they go there, they're going to all meet up, and Elaine will be there. And then, unfortunately, you'll have no background of like who Elaine is. But hopefully they'll do a good job of, you know, giving her some background.
Could they do something weird? I mean, obviously they could do whatever the fuck they want. We know that. I'm trying to figure out another way where like Rand just stumbles upon them. Because we got to meet the queen, too, if he meets Elaine.
I mean, I don't know how when he's going to like take off by himself. I mean,
he could go through Andor. You could get that whole scene if you really wanted to without the...
He could still fall.
He could still fall into the grounds. That's absolutely true. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, he could actually do that.
Okay, devil's advocate. Let's say that's true. Okay, he says he's taken off. Where do we think he's going? Do we think he's going to head straight to Tyr? He can't possibly know enough about the prophecies of the dragon yet to just be heading straight for Tyr. So when he says he's going to go by himself, where do we think he's going to go?
And this is me just talking. I think he is going to go straight to Tyr. I think they're going to combine books 2 and 3, right?
That makes sense. But like, who are we going to drop? We're going to drop Hurin and Loial or the Portal Stones? I mean, because that's all pretty important because it's how they get to cross those amount of mileage without traveling yet.
True. And then there's the whole point that, you know, the whole section that we just listened to on the Tom episode about him going to Kyrian with Kieran and Tom. So how do we get that? How do we get, Hurin and Loial? And then how do we get them getting back together with Tom?
Well, and getting all the way, like what you said, like circling around, getting to Carheen, because dude, they can't leave out Carheen. I mean, like there's a Trolloc attack, him going to the queen, the king's, like whatever that like event that he goes to. I mean, obviously I don't think they can get that deep into Dias De Mar or whatever, but that's important when he goes, like he meets Moraine's like uncle or cousin or whatever. And they have all those conversations. Tom's there. I think that all that shit's super important. And then them getting to into the ways and like, I don't know how they can leave that out without completely changing it.
What they can do is maybe, this is just me thinking off the top of my head, this is what I would do if I was brought in at, you know, this point. All that takes place in Andor. You meet up with, so Rand is by himself. He gets up on the wall, falls into the wall. All that stuff goes on. He's trying to get away. Maybe this maybe the stuff with Tom, where he meets up with Tom again, maybe that happens before he falls into the wall. But you can do all that stuff in Andor, and then you combine all of it together. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But it's like, how does he get all the way to Camlan, dude? Like, does he just, like, ride there, or, like...
Walks. And that's another thing. So, the same thing in book three, right?
Where's Perrin? Where's Matt? Matt's in Tar Valon. Because will they all end up in Falm, or, like...
Or they cut Falm out and they just make it Tyr, in my opinion, right? Because then, right, they just have the landing happen, or maybe they go to Falm first.
Well, but then they talk, even in the show, they talk about the landings on the West Coast, you know, like, then how are you going to cut out Falm? Why would you even put that in there?
And we're already kind of fucked because Rand has just taken off to hide. Matt is still in... wherever the fuck Matt is.
He's in Tar Valon, but that's why I'm just like, okay, where is Rand going? Is he going to end up back in Faldara? Will he run into Min? Because my thought is even like, maybe he runs into Min, because what happens is Min, and then they become close. They go to Carheen. She kind of stays there for a while, and they start that, like, this is later, but they start to kind of start the university kind of type thing.
Because we have to get off on the Great Hunt sooner than later. So where would everyone... where's the most logical place that everyone randomly ends up?
I would have to say Carheen somehow. Well, either Carheen or Falm and like Tolman Head, because there's a very, like, the culmination of, like, when we listen to the horn battle and when we listen to the stuff, it's like all that's at Falm, Tolman Head. It's out on the western coast where the Shan Chan are. But also Rand's battle with Ishmael is there too. So it's just like, it's more of just like logistics. Like, how are they going to kind of like it without, it's just, I think that's me kind of clinging to the main storyline. I feel like I'm starting to get a little Jeremy-ish. Like, man, I feel like they're going to change so much because I don't know how they're going to like bring everybody back together. Unless they literally decide to just break up everybody to do, because there's a lot of separate parts of the story, but then there's parts that are together. So if maybe they just decide to tell the parts of the story that are like, you know, like in, you know, halfway through Dragon Reborn, Elaine, Egwene, Nynaeve are kind of like off hunting Black Aja, and they have this interaction with Aiel and some dark friends. Maybe they just tell those, like, here's their group story for an episode, and
yeah,
here's what Matt and Perrin are doing for an episode, and here's what Rand and Min are doing for an episode.
Does anybody at Tar Valon give enough? Well, go, because they need the dagger to heal Matt.
Well, they go back to Tar Valon. Like, Matt ends up going back with Varen and stuff.
Could they get the? I haven't got. I'm on chapter 12 in the Great Hunt. Could they accomplish the Great Hunt in two episodes without fucking everything up?
I mean, they can do whatever they want, right? They can pretty much cut out almost the entirety of the Great Hunt if you wanted to. The one thing about the Great Hunt is, so it all culminates in, you know, they're going after, you know, Pod and Fane. He's got the horn, he's got the dagger, and they're trying to go all the way. They're trying to find him, right? And then once they get it, then they got to take the dagger back to Tar Valon and then heal Matt. But also they want to make sure that the horn isn't in the, you know, the shadow's possession. Spoiler alert, in the second book, there, you know, Matt blows the horn. You can not do that. I mean, you can just not do that. But here's the thing. We know that they have cast High Lord Turak, or whatever his name is. So he's going to be in it. We just don't know, is he going to be at Falm, which is where he is in the book?
Yeah.
Or are they going to, like, put him in a different area? Like, they could, like, literally, like, this is what I said last year, and I don't know if this is, it's probably not going to happen this way, but this is what I thought they could do, is they could just say everything happens at Tyr. So Tyr in the third book, that it, everything ends in Tyr in the third book. So he goes to Rand, Rand goes to Tyr to try to get this, you know, Saeingriel, it's a sword called Kalendor. And so you can do everything And then at the very end, he goes and gets Kalendor, you know, and it's, if you do it all there, then it's a little bit simpler for storytelling wise, you know.
And their sets are no joke. Like, they can only build so many of those.
That's true, too. And yeah, and they're big and like pretty cool. So you can do all that stuff.
I'm almost thinking that if you stick to the 8-episode format, you could almost do the Great Hunt in 4, because you could do like, you could skip the portal stones or like make it very condensed, get them to Carheen, get them to Falm. And then like 5th episode is like, you know, Rand, you know, like between episodes 4 and 5, it's like, you know, they kind of do 3 months later or something, you know what I mean? And then Rand is healed, and that's when they're kind of wintering in the mountains, little montage showing them passing time. And then Rand takes off towards fucking Tyr, because there's so many short events that happen, like fucking Perrin, and the, when Moraine and Perrin are running from the Dark Hounds and Rand's running from people, like all that could be like small parts of different episodes.
Thank the light for listening to our podcast. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parseilman. Send your questions. Oh, sorry. One more time. That is Wolf Brothers at Parseilman, so you don't have to rewind it on your podcast player. Send us direct questions, comments, anything you'd like us to talk about in depth. Like we said, we're going to got Heron Mark. We got a Dez wasn't paying attention bookmark. And then we're going to go dig deep on the origins. If there's something you want us to go deep on.
Do you want us to go deep on it? Send that to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com.
And if you're looking for something to listen to before our next episode, listen to another, you know what, listen to one of our commentaries. Watch one of your favorite Wheel of Time episodes with one of our commentaries. We will be right there with you. And tell a friend, tell a neighbor. And whatever you do, put your dagger in your horn box.
Rate us. Tell us you love us or hate us. I don't care.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Justin. Yes, rate and review. May you always find water and shade.
No, I said Parched Aielman.
Bye.
Peace, favor your sword. Bye.
Say it, Jeremy, say it.
I said bye. Oh, hashtag Billy Zane is Asmodean.
You're a failure.
Jizz band?
Yeah, the jizz band.
That's what it's called. Jizz. It's called jizz.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Oh, God. Really?
Yes.
Ugh.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
And I was gonna say something to make fun of you, but I'm too stoned and I forgot. Damn it. You were talking about things, and I was like, damn, I had something funny to say, and now I'm just like,